Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, joining us from the Maryland Horse Council and the Government Relations Committee of the Maryland Horse Council, we have Jane Sigler and Kim Egan. What is the Maryland Horse Council PAC and Government Relations?
Well, it's important to understand that the Horse Council PAC and the Horse Council and the Horse Council's Government Relations Committee are different concepts. The Horse Council PAC is an entirely different entity from the Horse Council. The PAC functions under the rules of the federal government and the Maryland state government, and its function is entirely to receive contributions from members of the Maryland horse community and to distribute those funds to candidates who support issues that are important to the horse industry and the equestrian community. The Maryland Horse Council and its Government Relations Committee is a separate 501c6 organization that's main mission is to lobby, essentially, to represent the interests of the Maryland horse community to legislators at the state and local level, primarily. And the Government Relations Committee is a committee within the Horse Council that takes on the main responsibility for those functions. And we are active year-round, but primarily during the time when the Maryland General Assembly is in session. It's a 90-day session every year. And this year it was from January 10th to April 8th. It's usually from mid-January to mid-April. And in that 90-day time period, the legislature considers usually between 2,500 and 3,000 bills. This year it was a little bit north of 2,700 bills that were introduced.
2,700 bills is a lot. What do these bills look like? It's not just a few sentences. It's a few sheets of paper.
Yes, the bills are oftentimes many pages long. What the bills look like is they will take the section of the existing law that they may be changing or adding to or deleting, and they have a little system for how it you can tell about what's new and what's old and what they're adding and what they're deleting. Anything that's in brackets is being deleted. Anything in bold type is being added. And then as the bills go through the session, through the process of hearings and amendments will be added and underlined. So with a little bit of knowledge and practice, it's actually pretty easy to follow what's in the bills. Some of them will just be a page or two long, usually two pages by the time they have in all the gobbledygook. But some of them can be multi-pages, 15, 20 pages, depending on what the topic is and what they're trying to do. In the course of the session, some of these bills are pre-filed, meaning that they are actually filed in Annapolis before the session opens in January, and others are introduced through the weeks of the beginning part of the session. There is a cutoff date after which it's difficult, but not impossible, to introduce a bill to get it passed. So during the session, the Government Relations Committee of the Horse Council meets once a week, and Kim, actually, in advance of that meeting, goes through all of the newly filed bills and flags the ones that it might be of interest to the horse community.
Kim.
And then at our meeting, we go over those bills and decide what, if any, kind of action we want to take on them. Sometimes we might just choose to monitor them. Sometimes we will decide that we want to testify either in favor or against the bills, or to suggest an amendment. If we decide to testify, we can do that either by going to Annapolis, or we can also do it virtually, or sometimes we will just submit written testimony. And there's also another option where you can simply indicate that you support or oppose the bill, but not testify. And that is all taken into the record of the bill as it moves through the process in the legislature. Sometimes we will also go to Annapolis and meet with the legislators to discuss our concerns about the bills or any suggestions for amendments and try to convince the legislators to support us in whatever it is we're trying to do with the bill.
Let me take us back for just a minute. Kim, when you're prepping for these meetings and you're looking through the bills, what are you looking for?
Well, primarily, I'm looking for bills that directly affect the horse industry in some capacity. Sometimes those are very obvious because they may have, you know, horses in the title. For example, the helmet bill, just scanning the titles of the bills, you can see that one is in there and that it would affect equestrians. Sometimes they're a little more further afield and one has to assess how something might affect the horse industry. A good example of that is the liability waiver bill this session. commission that doesn't say horses are equestrians or anything anywhere in it, but that was of great interest to a lot of our members and the horse industry as a whole. Another one was the fireworks bill, which didn't purport to have anything particular to do with horses, but that would have affected every horse farm. So we do that. And then we also keep an eye on other trade associations' hotlines. For example, the Farm Bureau, they put out a hotline during session, and Jane keeps an eye on that to see if there's anything there that we've missed.
Are these hotlines other agricultural areas that are asking for help and support, or are they just notifications of what's coming up on their watch list?
It's what's coming up on their watch list and oftentimes the position they are taking. And our positions are not always aligned for various reasons, but it's a good way to make sure you've caught everything. I also keep an eye tangentially on the Chamber of Commerce stuff because my husband gets those emails and we found a couple of things that way. So we try to have eyes as far as we can, but it's a lot of bills.
2,700 bills, that's an understatement for a lot of bills. If one were just a piece of paper, that would be one thing, but these are 3 and 4 and you multiply that. That's a lot of reading of things to keep on top of.
Well, and hundreds of them come in a day in the early part of the session. So it is a lot to keep track of. The other thing I do before the meetings is once we're in a little bit, I start checking to see if any hearings have been scheduled on the bills we're tracking, and if so, when. And also further in the session, we check before the meetings to see if there's been a committee vote on any of the bills, what it was, whether there have been any amendments to the bills introduced by an advocate and then adopted by the committee. And then we follow the bills through the sessions on the floor.
The other thing I was going to add to what Kim said, and that makes Kim's job harder, is that we also are interested in bills, as she said, that really don't necessarily have anything directly to do with horses. For example, environmental bills, business law, tax bills, labor law, all of those things affect, because we're a trade association that represents the entire industry. So everybody from the vets, the farriers, the racetracks, all the competition venues, the tax stores, the feed stores, all the way down to the people who have retired backyard horses and everything in between. And so there's a lot of things that the legislature can get their fingers into that affect the daily lives of our constituents. And so we try very hard to, you know, keep an eye out on all of that. For example, there was a bill introduced this year that would have put a tax on services, apply what's currently called the sales and use tax, which currently only applies to a transaction in which an object changes hands for money, a sale of an object, and it would apply to services across the board, all services, dry cleaners, doctors, lawyers, but also vets and farriers and all of that. That bill did not pass, didn't advance very far at all, but we did need to pay attention to that and to become active on it.
That one I've learned about from the Chamber of Commerce. So it's a good example of how we try to get as many streams of information coming to us as we can, because there are a lot of bills and we're only human and sometimes one's eyes are blurry. So that's a good example of one that we got from a federal trade association.
So the collaborations, the networking of the trade associations.
Yeah. And actually, we have a really good relationship with the Farm Bureau in that regard, in that we will send emails back and forth. Hey, did you see this bill? Or hey, have you heard about this bill? And are you going to take a position? That kind of thing. In general, we also have a good relationship with the legislative people within the agencies that we primarily interact with, which is the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Natural Resources. And we have a good working relationship with their legislative directors to communicate on bills that might be either coming from those agencies or would have an impact on those agencies. One of which, for example, was a bill that would have taken jurisdiction over all of the trails in Maryland from the Department of Natural Resources and put it within a new office of trails within the Department of Transportation. And we communicated very early on with the Department of Natural Resources about the bill and what their thoughts were about it. And it seemed to us that the bill, although it was an ambitious and understandable plan, had not really been closely considered with the agencies that were going to be involved. And so that bill did not advance this session. I suspect that some version of it will come back next year, but it just needed a little bit more work.
For clarification on that one, Department of Transportation are the things that we drive on with our trucks and trailers to transport our horses. And trails and the use of the Department of Natural Resources typically oversees the trails for which the horses ride ride on. So although that they're trails and byways, these are very different pieces.
But not in the view of the legislator who put this bill in. The vision of the bill is really to promote bicycling as a means of transportation. So the bill specifically referred to treating trails as both the venues for recreation and transportation. So that was the vision behind the bill, was to develop this statewide network of trails that could be used for people to physically get themselves from one place to another without using an automobile. Now, one of the problems with the bill is that it was a long bill, at least 10 pages or so, talking about setting up all these advisory commissions and offices and collaboration between all these different state groups and bicycling groups, but nowhere in the bill were horses mentioned, except for one place where it said that there was horseback riding was one use of trails. But I was at an event in Annapolis, and the House sponsor of the bill was present at the event, and I spoke to her about the bill, and she seemed surprised to learn that horses and bicyclists and hikers use many of the same trails. She didn't seem to be aware of that. So this is why this can be a little bit of a challenging job in trying to educate legislators. Many legislators, understandably, don't know a whole lot about the horse industry in Maryland and how it works and what it does and who the people are that are involved in it. So that's a constant job of the Government Relations Committee.
And if I may jump in, Rachan, yep. We have good relationships with the lobbyists for other trade associations, which is also a good source of information for us. But we also give them information. There were a couple times this session where we told the Farm Bureau about something that the Farm Bureau hadn't caught. And the same with the brewers group, wineries and breweries people. So it is exactly what you said. It's a community of symbiotic trade associations, generally all rowing in the same direction. And those are relationships we nurture all year round, not just during sessions.
And so the mission of the Horse Council, educating, representing, and uniting, really comes to fruition during the session. It's not just the equine community, but it is the entire community for which the legislature reaches out for information, or we reach to for giving information. When we come back, let's unravel the confusion around the Maryland Horse Council, the Maryland Horse Industry Board, the Maryland Horse Foundation, and all of the other horse groups out there. Join me, Rayshan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon. Welcome back to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. We have Jane Sigler and Kim Egan joining us, co-chairs of Maryland Horse Council Government Relations. There's several names that get confused, and that recognition of the Maryland Horse Council, it's very specific, but there's other horse entities that are Department of Ag, or they serve other groups, but the Horse Council unites all of those groups. How do we know the difference?
It's tough to know the difference sometimes because so many groups have the word Maryland and horse in them. The main groups are the Maryland Horse Council, Maryland Horse Industry Board, Maryland Horse Foundation, and the Maryland Horse Breeders.
Help us understand and detangle all of these Maryland horse groups.
Let's talk about us first. We are the statewide trade association for the entire industry. We represent everybody to the best of our ability, all levels of participation, all disciplines, all business sectors. We are the organization for everybody. All of the other organizations have slices of the industry. So the Maryland Horse Industry Board is a part of the Maryland Department of Agriculture, and their main job is licensing stables. So they are a regulator. If you have a stable that offers services to the public, you have to be licensed by MHIB, and that's their primary job. They also do an important role in promoting, as in growing, the horse industry. We support the existing industry. The Horse Council actually was responsible for the legislation that created the Horse Industry Board because the Horse Council were all volunteer run. Our money is dues primarily, and since the acquisition of the equiary, it's advertising revenue, and we simply didn't have the bandwidth to also try to grow the industry. So that's where the Horse Industry Board came in. They get funded by the feed tax and occasional grants, and so that's their job. The Maryland Horse Foundation is a good old-fashioned charity, nonprofit, 501c3, and they are the entity entity that has built the new Maryland Horse Library and Education Center in Reisterstown, where they have a bricks and mortar library and they put on a variety of educational seminars and other events. They are a charity. We are not a charity. We're a trade association. And then the last one is the Maryland Horse Breeders Association, and they are a trade association for primarily thoroughbred breeders in the state. They focus on thoroughbreds and they focus on breeders. Having said all that, the four of us work closely together because we each have a piece and we are the umbrella piece. We trade information, we support each other, we're a family. But it can be confusing with all the M and the H's. And then there's a whole bevy of other organizations, charitable organizations, competition groups, et cetera, that do other things in other sectors and slices of the industry. I think at last count, we have over 200 equestrian equine-related associations in the state.
And those would be things like the Quarter Horse Association. They would be more breed association?
The Maryland Quarter Horse Association, Trot, the Trail Riders,
PVDA,
Potomac Valley Dressage Association, Carroll County Equestrian Council, all those things. All of them count as a horse association or organization.
And then don't forget, there's also the racing side. There's the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, which are the owners and the trainers, as opposed to the breeders. And then on the standardbred side, there are a couple of standardbred associations, the standardbred owners and the Cloverleaf Standardbred Association. So there's a lot of associations.
There's a lot of horses. There's a lot of education. There's a lot of networking and trading and how we support our industry of horses to the tune of almost $3 billion in the state of Maryland. One of the things that really just has never made sense to me is everyone talks about riding their horses when the sponsorships keep things together. And in my point of view, I always trailer my horses wherever I go. And that means the truck sales, the trailer sales. All of these folks can be sponsors for the Maryland Horse Council.
You're exactly right, Rachel. Our membership dues and our advertising revenue from the equiary go a long way to support our mission, but it's sponsorship dollars that really give us the firepower to do as much as we can and to do even more. We have great ambitions for things we can do more of and do better at a larger scale, but we do need sponsors to help make that happen.
And those sponsors are not just horse-related, the seemingly obvious, the saddles, the tacks. It's the things like barn builders, people who supply, the dealerships who supply trucks, the repair services, because trucks break down and they need tires routinely. It's those folks that we're looking for as well to help us make our mission accomplished.
That's right. We have Farm Credit as a sponsor. They're hugely important for financing equine property. We just got the Maryland Department of Agriculture's Office of Resource Conservation came on board as a sponsor. They're sponsoring our farm stewardship column in the equiary, which is terrific. But yeah, anyone who could benefit financially from the horse industry, we would be a great operation to sponsor. And we have sponsorships at all levels. The packages are all bespoke.
There's industry folks. There's individual folks. There's professionals. So if you are a vet or a farrier or someone who is offering professional services, if you are offering sales for the consumers who use the horses or they utilize horses in their sport, if you are a person who is part of agritourism, these are all folks. Maybe those bed and breakfasts at Fair Hill or the bed and breakfast near Loch Moy need to be involved.
And our sponsorship packages always include an array of both digital and print promotional benefits. So you get a good bang for your buck. We have the largest audience of horse people in the state. We reach over 30,000 people every month. We think we're a good bargain.
30,000 people is nothing to sneeze at or whinny at.
No, carefully cultivated and curated people who are horse people.
And this is a gift of your time to support the Maryland Horse Council and all of the folks represented by the Maryland Horse Council. For that, you deserve a huge thank you. And we appreciate you being there. If we want to get in contact with the Maryland Horse Council, how do we do that?
You can find the Maryland Horse Council online at mdhorsecouncil.org, email at admin@mdhorsecouncil.org, or you can call the equiary number at 800-244-9580.
One last thing, if you want to tell somebody out there listening, sum up for us in maybe one sentence each what the Government Relations Committee accomplished this year that you are most proud of.
I would say the heroic work that Jane did over several years getting the helmet bill for minors passed. That was a shockingly difficult run because of a whole bunch of little hiccups along the way, but it prevailed, and Jane did the lion's share of that work. And I think the others are all in the negative. The tax on services did not pass. A bill that would have taxed equine indoor riding rings at double the rate of other ag bills didn't pass. The fireworks bill didn't pass. Sometimes our victories are in what didn't happen.
Absolutely. Jane, what's your most poignant moment this year?
Well, I think Kim did a good job summing up our achievements. I think that it was, for us, a very successful session. A lot of things that we supported did pass. A lot of things that we opposed did not pass, as Kim mentioned. I think the thing, I guess, that I'm continually proud of is that we continue to improve and increase our impact within the legislature. That every year, I think we are recognized, you know, when we show up at a hearing to testify, the chairman and the vice chairman and the members of the committees all know us. And every year, sometimes there are new members of the committees and they get to know us. And I think that's something that makes me feel pretty good every year.
I hope all of our listeners are proud to be members or would consider being members of the Maryland Horse Council. Educating, representing, and uniting has shown through completely in this episode. Thank you, ladies, for continuing to represent us, and we'll look forward to next year.